Our epistle for this Sunday, being Quinquagesima Sunday, is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned and do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. At that time Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and scourged, and spat upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and the saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as they drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus are the words of the day's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And they understood none of these things, and the saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, do you understand? How much more plain could our Lord be about what was going to take place? He gives them specifics. We are going up to Jerusalem. That's the group of us. You ever wonder what was going on in Judas's mind? We are going up to Jerusalem. What's going to happen? Deicide. The Son of Man will be rejected. The Gentiles will be given him, and they will abuse him, spitting on him, scourging him, putting him to death. And on the third day, he will rise again. And note here that the evangelist, St. Luke, writes three times that they didn't understand. They understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Why not? Because they were blinded by self. A great warning to us. Because the same thing is presented to us today. We are heading into Lent. Ash Wednesday starts Lent. It doesn't matter who you are, we're still heading into Lent. This penitential and grace-filled season you're heading into, how are you going to make use of it? Is it going to be the same old? The spiritual stupidity that often joins us year after year? Or are we going to do our part and change some things, make some sacrifices, deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Christ? Are we going to die to ourselves? Well, where do I start? I'll tell you where we start. We start right here, right now, here at church. When I read our Lord's epistle, or our Lord's gospel, and he says we are going up to Jerusalem, I'm often reminded of the prayers at the foot of the altar. Intro evil adultery day. We go to the altar of God. The altar of God. Wrap your mind around that. Do you believe it? How do you make use of that information? How do you make use of that? Is it something that we don't understand? Is this saying hidden from us? And do we not get to know the things that are being said? Hoc est anum corpus meum. This is my body. This is my blood. Do I believe it? Why is it that when we come to church, we leave and we're no better? Is it because we just existed at Mass and we didn't assist at Mass? Because we should assist at Mass. That's what the popes have told us. You pray the prayers with the priest. When you come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, you have to bring your own sacrifice. And you know what they are? They're your sins, your imperfections, and your faults. And you put them on the paten. And you give them to the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And we do it with an attitude of humility and contrition. Because the humble and the contrite heart the Lord will not despise. Those aren't my words. Those are gospel truth. So my friends, we are going up to Jerusalem. We are heading into Lent. We have a penitential season that's quickly approaching. Ash Wednesday. Are we going to do the same old, or are we going to profit by it? I remember this one person that he heard a sermon from one of the priests, and Lent was approaching, so he said to himself, you know what? I'm going to go and do the Lenten retreat. They had a Lenten retreat that was planned. And at the end of the Lenten retreat, he happened to touch base with the priest, and the priest said, well, how did it go? He goes, it went really good. He goes, well, that's good to hear. How so? He goes, well, I went to do this retreat, and I'm approaching Lent as if it was my last Lent on earth. And you know what the fact of the matter was? It was his last Lent on earth, because a few weeks after Easter, he died. It's important for us to make good use of the opportunities given to us when we have them, not to hope and be presumptuous on further opportunities of grace. None of us deserve it. The good Lord gives it to us. Spiritual stupidity is thinking that for some reason we deserve more than we get. Intro evil adultery day. I will go up to the altar of God. That's what we're here for. Let's make some resolutions on how we're going to approach Lent. Let us make some good resolutions today on how we are going to approach the gifts that God has given to us, the opportunities that He gives to us. Let's not waste our time. Let's make good use of our time. But in order to do it correctly, we need to make sure that we understand that it has to be done out of true charity. Love for God's sake. That's what charity is. It's not what other people think. It's our acknowledgement of His love for us and our willingness to strive to return that love. It's that simple. Spiritual stupidity is not caring or thinking for some reason we can make up our own rules on how to achieve what we ought to strive to achieve. There are some people on Sunday, they will come to church and think they fulfill their obligations, and they might fulfill the letter. But if you fulfill the letter only, you don't fulfill the spirit, you haven't fulfilled the law. You can go to church on all Sundays and holy days of obligation, but if you don't make the Lord's Day holy, have you fulfilled the law? No. Remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Not the Lord's hour, the Lord's Day. That's divine law. So our attitude must be checked where it concerns God. And if there's ever a time for us to check our attitude and our understanding, it's during Lent. And we thank God for it, and we show God that we are thankful by how we make good use of our time. And we do it simply, my friends, for Christ's sake. Not for mommy and daddy's sake, not for our friend's sake, not for our friend's sake, for Christ's sake. Let us go up to Jerusalem with Christ and be willing to die to ourselves so we can rise with Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.